Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. This year has been full of news critical to farm policy, and many agricultural leaders address those subjects on AgriPulse Newsmakers. This week, we'll take a look back at what our guests had to say about critical decisions, including what you can expect moving forward. Lawmakers started 2023 intent on moving a new five-year farm bill. In January, we spoke with Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow. At the time, lawmakers still needed to determine just how they were going to handle a long list of priorities farm groups want to address in new legislation.
There's never been, at least as I have been doing farm bills, additional money put in the baseline. What we always do is we have a certain amount of money that continues every 5 years. And then outside the farm bill, we look for other ways to supplement it to be able to help us meet our needs.
That funding question and the use of Inflation Reduction Act conservation funding would linger throughout the year, as we'll discuss later in the episode. But while Stabenow was optimistic a farm bill would be complete by now, she acknowledged even in January that an extension could be needed.
It is not at all surprising if we extend the current farm bill a few months. We'd love to get it done. Senator Bozeman and I would love to have this completely wrapped up and on the president's desk by September 30th of this year. We know because of the timeline and all the complexity of everything going on and the challenges in the House that, that may take a little bit longer, but we're committed to getting it done. I'm absolutely committed to making sure we move as quickly as we can in a way that is responsible. And so that's what we'll be doing.
While the farm bill was a top priority for many ag groups, other matters also arose that required Capitol Hill and the Biden administration to act. One of 2023's biggest ag policy issues has been Mexico's proposed ban on genetically modified corn imports. Mexican leaders have said the decision is based on science. American leaders disagree, arguing Mexico is making a political statement. In February, we spoke with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, and she was pressing for American leaders to make Mexico comply with the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
We really need the pressure on Mexico, and certainly Mexico and Canada, they both signed on to the USMCA with us. And they need to abide by that. And what we see is President AMLO really giving us the pushback on our GMO corn. And they are our number one purchaser of Iowa corn. And so we need to make sure that they're adhering to the agreements. And if they are not, then we need to step up and go through the steps to make sure that they are adhering to it.
The issue would dominate the news for much of the year as the U.S. corn industry fought to maintain its market south of the border. We'll discuss what happened next later in the episode. Nutrition funding also emerged as a flashpoint for lawmakers in 2023. Many Ag Committee members, including Georgia Democrat Raphael Warnock, who spoke with us in March, pushed for a hands-off approach in the farm bill.
And it's really tough to tell your child that I don't have enough money to afford what you need to eat this month. So as we look at rising costs, clawing our way back from this pandemic, I think that there's a baseline of food security that we have to provide for people. We ought to encourage people to work. I'm not averse to that. But the truth of the matter is there are people who work every single day and are still dealing with basic food security issues. Again, I think we have to center the concerns of ordinary people and remember that most poor people who are struggling with food security are children.
But the farm bill wasn't the only forum for a snap debate in 2023. Congress was also considering legislation to avoid a default on the government's debt. As that bill was being debated, Senate Ag Ranking Member John Bozeman told us he was watching the issue closely to determine its farm bill impacts.
It seems like that the House is going to, that's going to be one of the things that they are going to try and get done regarding the debt ceiling, the debt limit. And so, theoretically, that could all be worked out.
A bill to raise the nation's debt ceiling would, in fact, go on to include language on federal nutrition programs. The debate over SNAP funding is far from over. In fact, both sides of the aisle claimed victory over the language in the debt ceiling bill. And the farm bill is almost certain to have a hearty debate over the legislation's nutrition title. We'll be right back with more top stories from the year in ag policy right after this.
Palmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahe build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. The authority of the Secretary of Agriculture to use funds in USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation emerged as a major issue this spring. In March, House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee Chairman Andy Harris challenged Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack's use of the fund, leading to a fiery Capitol Hill exchange between the two officials. Harris joined our program in April and said he wanted to reinstate a restriction on the department's use of the CCC.
My intention is to roll that back, to return the Commodity Credit Corporation to its core function, which are, you know, the crop insurance subsidies, and make sure that if we have emergencies that we have the ability to pay our producers for losses they incur. In the case of poultry producers, for instance, the avian flu, we're able to make our producers whole with that. That's the purpose of the Commodity Credit Corp, and that's what we have to return it to.
Georgia Democrat Sanford Bishop is the ranking member on that committee. He joined our show the following week, where he defended Vilsack's decision and argued Congress didn't need to impose any new restrictions on CCC spending.
Absolutely not. The CCC was put there for the very reasons that we're using it. It's interesting that when Republicans are in charge, they don't like to see the secretary be able to utilize the CCC to meet the needs of our farmers and our producers, which is what it was designed to do. This secretary comes in and has the identical authority, and we have many needs that have developed that have come to the forefront. And I think the secretary is appropriately using the CCC consistent with its purposes to address those needs and those issues that are faced by our producers.
The issue remains unresolved as Capitol Hill works to finalize the legislation to fund the government for the 2024 fiscal year. The House bill to fund USDA includes restrictions. The Senate measure does not. Meanwhile, two important Supreme Court rulings came down in May. The High Court narrowed the scope of the Clean Water Act, doing away with the significant nexus test previously used to determine the existence of a water of the United States. The court also upheld California's Prop 12 animal housing law. That measure set animal housing standards for pork sold in the state, no matter where it is produced. Following that decision, Senator Chuck Grassley and others on Capitol Hill began pushing legislation aimed at stopping California or any other state from similar actions affecting interstate commerce. Grassley joined the program in June and said the issue needs to be considered in the next farm bill.
In fact, the Supreme Court ruling backs us up because the Supreme Court, under Gorsuch majority decision, said Congress under the Constitution has the right to regulate foreign and interstate commerce, and they haven't done it in this particular instance. So in an indirect way, he was saying, why should the Supreme Court step in to do something that Congress should be doing? So I think that gives a great impetus to the Marshall, Grassley, Ernst bill and other people working on that legislation, and surely ought to be a part of the farm bill.
The impact of Prop 12 on animal agriculture will be closely watched in January when certification requirements to sell into the state take effect. But another ongoing process could have a major impact on another segment of animal agriculture. The dairy industry has been undergoing hearings to consider potential changes to federal milk marketing orders. Before those hearings began, we spoke with Vermont Senator Peter Welch about what that process might mean for dairy policy changes in the upcoming Farm Bill. The sector has been part of many public spats in recent reauthorizations, but Welch said the nation's dairy policy is on good footing.
Well, I think there is some stability in terms of the policy. There's always a challenge in terms of what the margin is for our farmers. And the cost inputs, of course, have been increasing significantly. For a period, the milk price was going up. But the bottom line always is, how do you protect when that margin shrinks or vanishes? And there's also, in dairy policy, always a big issue about the size of the farms, and we've got diversity in that. My approach on not just dairy, but ag in general, is to pay respect to what works locally in the agricultural community, because that's the unifying force. You know, Vermont has a lot of dairy, but John Bozeman has a lot of rice. I mean, the farmers that work there are as important to him as the dairy farmers are to me. And that's what gives us some, that is actually the glue that brings that bipartisan committee together, where we're trying to help agricultural communities across the country.
We'll be right back with more of our look at the year's events. But first, Hannah Pagel's report from earlier this year on the implications of one country's decision on global trade.
Global rice trade is expected to decline this year and next year, in part because of India's decision to ban the export of non-basmati white rice earlier this year. 1 month after that ban, India also placed an export tax on parboiled rice. This chart shows how India's decisions impact global rice trade. You can see the forecast totals going down for both this year and next year. This year's trade restrictions are expected to pull down Indian exports both this year and in 2024 and contribute to a broader decline in rice on the world market. India supplies more rice than Thailand, Vietnam, Pakistan, and the U.S. The report shows India is expected to export 1.5 million tons less than originally anticipated, which offsets increased exports from some of those countries. Bill Thompson has an in-depth look at how India's rice export ban will impact countries around the world at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pagel.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at AgriPulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. The argument over Mexico's proposed ban on genetically modified corn imports reached a new level in August when the U.S. called for a dispute panel under the USMCA. We spoke exclusively with USTR Chief Ag Negotiator Doug McCaleb when the decision was announced to talk about why the U.S. was escalating the issue.
The Biden administration, and specifically the U.S. Trade Representative's office here, had repeatedly expressed concerns with Mexico regarding their policy regarding biotechnology and the importation of corn. Mexico's policy was not only unfair, but it also was not based in science. And so Ambassador Tai, Secretary Vilsack had traveled to Mexico. I was down there on two trips as well. And we had repeatedly reminded the Mexicans that it was important to adhere to science. Unfortunately, the consultations we've had to this point have not resolved the situation. So our announcement is that we will be moving to a panel under USMCA to resolve this issue and to ensure that Mexico returns to science as the basis for their importation policy on grain.
Elsewhere on the trade front, USDA's CCC authority came into focus again in the fall when the department used $1.4 billion to establish the Regional Agricultural Promotion Program to help farm groups sell goods overseas. Senators Debbie Stabenow and John Bozeman sent a letter requesting the use of the CCC funds to help with marketing and international food aid. In September, we spoke to USDA Trade Undersecretary Alexis Taylor during an agribusiness trade mission in Chile. At the time, AgriPulse had reported the investments were coming, but USDA had not yet announced the exact parameters of the program. That said, Taylor did offer her thoughts about what additional trade investments might mean for American producers.
We're reviewing that request and looking at authorities, but also available CCC funding to ensure that we can meet the statutory requirements placed upon the CCC. I would say I do think it highlights how beneficial those programs have been, some of the huge challenges, those trade headwinds that we're experiencing, to be able to help U.S. businesses compete. These are the foundation that is built upon for small and mid-sized businesses, for our various industries. There's true benefit here, and I heard that from many of the businesses I've had the opportunity to meet with this week, and I think what the senators asked really underscored the great work we're doing here and also the growing need that we see around food security as well.
When the investment was eventually announced, USDA also agreed to spend $1.1 billion for commodity-based international food aid. We'll be right back with more Farm Bill discussion, but first, a recap from our Quentin Slater on the most updated Farm Bill baseline and what that means for the legislation.
Regardless of when lawmakers pass the next farm bill, it's expected to be the first time the price tag tops $1 trillion. This chart shows the Congressional Budget Office's most recent estimates of projected farm bill spending over the next 10 years, also known as the baseline. The 2018 farm bill cost $867 billion when it was enacted. The next farm bill is expected to cost an additional $640 billion more, an increase of 74% in spending. The Farm Bill has 12 titles, and nutrition accounts for more than 82% of the bill's projected mandatory spending, which comes out to more than $1.2 trillion. The next biggest piece of the Farm Bill pie is the crop insurance title, which accounts for roughly 7% of spending. Commodity and conservation programs are both expected to total around 4 to 4.5% of funding. If you're interested in learning more about each Farm Bill title, check out previous episodes of AgriPulse Newsmakers and our coverage on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Quentin Slater.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. As the year went on, lawmakers continued the push to get a farm bill done, but key divides between Republicans and Democrats ultimately stood in the way. Chief among those differences, money and where to spend it. South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune spoke to us in October when the September 30th statutory deadline for many farm bill programs had already passed. With talk of an extension already in the air, it was a matter of when, for how long, and why.
There doesn't seem to be an agreement among Republicans and Democrats on the committee about priorities. The chair, Debbie Stabenow, the senator from Michigan, has indicated that she doesn't want to use any of the funds that were allocated during the so-called Inflation Reduction Act last summer, about $20 billion, in the commodity title of the bill. And, you know, our members argue that that's where that's You got to put more farm in the farm bill. The commodity title is the part that deals with farmers. At some point, she's going to have to commit to working with Republicans on dealing with the crop insurance program, the ART program, the PLC program, the safety net provisions in the commodity title, which is where most of our members want, you know, the attention focus.
A few weeks later, we were joined by North Dakota Republican Senator John Hoeven. He stressed the importance of strengthening the farmer's safety net in the farm bill.
We've got a $1.5 trillion baseline, okay? But when you look at the fact that, for example, the nutrition piece has gone, it's more than $1.2 trillion. Their baseline's gone from $600 to over $1.2 trillion. When you look at the conservation, there's another $30 billion there that's coming in baseline. Yeah, the baseline there overall, there's plenty of room to do this, but folks are going to have to share, right? It's got to work for everybody. There's got to be more farm in the farm bill.
Stabenow would eventually take to the Senate floor in October to outline her insistence that nutrition and conservation programs receive strong funding in the next farm bill. As the farm bill process continued into the fall, Senate Ag Ranking Member John Bozeman underscored the importance of Congress making sure it wasn't in a rush to get a farm bill out the door at the expense of quality legislation.
We want to get this done as quickly as possible. On the other hand, you know, you hear people say, well, you know, we got to do something. No, we've got to do the right thing. And we're in a situation now where we desperately have to make it such that we get our risk management tools in place. Research is important, all of these things. Get those in place as we move forward, or I would advocate that we're better off not doing a farm bill.
The lack of certainty on the farm bill's future continued into November when House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson joined us for an interview. He said there were several things holding up the process.
Legally, we can't go forward without having the Congressional Budget Office estimates. And it wouldn't be smart not to get the technical assistance from USDA, because that there's a practical implication there of on what's possible with what's being proposed. And then the third thing that, you know, that we're, I think, you know, we're making progress on is looking of how do we pay for this, which requires reprioritizing existing spending. There'll be no new dollars. That's kind of a reality in the economic situation we're in as a country and the 118th Congress.
Eventually, the Republican and Democratic Ag Committee leaders would agree to a farm bill extension as part of a deal to avoid a government shutdown in November. The extension runs through the end of the 2024 fiscal year in September, but many astute observers note the practical deadline is more likely the end of the 2024 calendar year, when the dreaded permanent law would kick in. The year came to a close with the COP28 climate conference in Dubai. Many prominent voices in American agriculture were in attendance and hailed the event as a success, including Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Vilsack joined us after he returned from the conference and said the agricultural conversation at the event reflected advancements producers have been making.
I think farmers and ranchers and producers across the country are already embracing a number of practices. We've identified nearly 200 practices that farms and ranches are currently engaging in that would be, I think, considered a climate smart. And to the extent that we can highlight, to the extent that we can lift up the work of American agriculture, I think it provides not only a pat on the back here at home, but also a recognition that there are many ways to go about climate smart activities.
We'll be right back to wrap up the year's farm policy coverage on AgriPulse Newsmakers.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Welcome back. This has certainly been an interesting year in farm policy, and we want to thank you for joining us not only for this look back, but for being along for the ride all year long. Looking forward, 2024 is certain to have many critical moments of its own, including the government funding deadlines in January and February, the beginning of the primary season, the ongoing work to move a new farm bill, and of course, the November elections. We'll be keeping a close eye on the critical farm and food policy news all year long at AgriPulse.com, and we invite you to join us there. But for now, thanks for taking part in our look back at an eventful 2023 in AgriPulse Newsmakers. We'll be back in 2024 with more of the same great coverage you can trust. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit AgriPulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.